And it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And the other one is in Amos 3:3, where it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? You can change that around and say, can two agree except they walk together? And I was thinking this morning, you know, what would this life, what would life be like? What would our world be like if we were the only people in it? If I was the only one in, the only one, and I was, did everything for myself, I could have all the blessings and all the problems for myself. There'd be nothing or anybody that hinders me. But you know, this morning I'd like to talk about, and title this, The Gift of Relationship. Relationships take people, and we can't really, as humans, we were created with a need for fellowship, a need for relationship. There's a story that I heard when I was in school. Not even sure. I think it was somebody that came in for school devotions, but it stuck with me. And it's about a man that lived all by himself upon a hill. And they called him the Hermit. The story is the Hermit and the King. And it's a story about a dirty old man who used to live in a dirty old house away up on the side of a hill in a country far, far away. He was called a hermit because he didn't like to be with people. He just liked to live all by himself. He ate as little food as he could so that he wouldn't have to work more than he had to. He never swept his house. He never washed his clothes. And he never pulled the weeds from his garden. He just slept and slept and sat in the sunshine nearly all the time. Down in the valley, there was a beautiful city where the good king of the country lived. But the dirty old hermit was content to live all by himself and only went to the city once in a while when it was necessary to sell a bundle of wood in order to buy something to eat. One day, the dirty old man was sitting in the sunshine among the weeds when he heard a horse coming up the path towards his house. Cloppity, 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 clop. He looked, and it was the king riding on his horse up the hill. He came closer and closer. Then he tied his horse to a post and walked towards the dirty old house. Then he stood looking over the valley at the majestic mountains on the other side. What a beautiful sight, said the king. Aren't those mountains beautiful? The dirty old hermit, having heard the king speak, turned to look at the mountains, and the king saw him. Friend hermit, he said, may I come again to look at these majestic hills from your garden? The view from here is so grand it makes me very happy. But the poor old hermit was so ashamed of his dirty old house and his dirty old garden that he couldn't speak. He hung his head in shame. While he sat there wondering what to do, the king went away. But he will come again, said the hermit to himself, and I must get ready for him. So he cleaned away the leaves and swept the path to his house. He repaired the old broken stool and placed it in front of his house. Then he waited for the king to come again. One day he heard a horse coming up the hill. It was the king riding on his horse. He came closer and closer, tied his horse up, and walked up and came and sat on the stool. He gazed and gazed over the valley at the beautiful mountains. Then he said, thank you. Thank you so much, friend hermit. I just love to come here. May I have a glass of water? The hermit didn't dare tell the king that his cup was dirty, his bucket was empty, and his spring was muddy and overgrown with weeds. What could he do? In shame, he ran to the spring to clean his cup, but when he got back, the king had gone away. But he will come again, said the hermit to himself, and I must get ready for him. So the hermit cleaned the spring, he cleaned his cup, and he put a little table beside the stool in front of his house. He brought fresh water in his bucket every day and kept it on the table. He waited for the king to come again. Then one day he heard the king coming on his horse. He came closer and closer and tied his horse up and walked towards the dirty old house. He sat on the stool and drank the water. Then he said, thank you. Thank you so much, friend hermit. I just love to come here and enjoy this beautiful view. It was so good of you to have lovely cool water already. I'm so hungry today. May I please have a little bread to eat? Poor hermit. He had nothing to eat but a few half-rotten grapes and a dry crust or two of bread. He didn't dare to offer them to the king. While he sat there wondering what to do, the king went away. But he will come again, said the hermit, and I must get ready for him. So the hermit went to the forest, cut wood, and sold it in the city. He bought some cornmeal and baked corn cakes every day. Then he watered his garden and weeded his turnips and waited for the king to come again. Then one day he heard the king coming on his horse. Cloppity, 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 clop. He came and he sat on the stool and he drank the water and ate the corn cakes. Then he said, "Thank you. Thank you, friend hermit. I just love to come here and enjoy this beautiful view. It is so good of you to let me come and rest in your garden and refresh myself with your food and water." Then he continued, "Friend hermit, I would like to sleep here tonight so that I can see the sunrise in the morning." "Sleep here?" Poor old hermit. He didn't dare tell the king that he had no bed and that he slept on some old bags on the floor. In shame, he hung his head and went inside his house, wondering what he could do. While he was there, the king went away. "But he will come again," said the hermit to himself, "and I must get ready for him." So the hermit went into the forest, cut some poles, and made a nice bed. Then he cut some more poles and made a nice porch in front of his house. He sold more wood and bought a nice mattress and a nice blanket. Then he noticed how dirty his house was, so he swept it and washed his windows. Then he noticed how dirty his clothes were, so he sold some more wood and bought some nice new clothes. Every day he swept his house, weeded his garden, drew fresh water, baked corn cakes, bathed himself, dressed himself in his nice new clothes, and waited for the king to come again. One day he heard a horse coming up the hill. Cloppity, 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 clop. It was the king. The old hermit went to meet him. The king came and sat on the stool, drank the water, and ate the corn cakes. He also watched the sun set behind the beautiful mountains. Then he said, "Thank you. Thank you so much, friend hermit. I just love to come here and enjoy this beautiful view. It is so good of you to let me come and rest in your garden, refresh myself with your food and water, and sit here and look over the valley at those great tall mountains." Then the king slept in the nice new bed and stayed with the hermit all the night. He also watched the sun come up in the morning, and the old hermit was happy because the king sat with him and talked with him and stayed with him. And guess what? The people didn't call the hermit the dirty old hermit anymore. They called him the friend of the king. It's a little, probably a little bit of a simple story, but the king took an interest in the hermit there, and the hermit decided that he could be sociable. But man, God has done the same thing with us. God created man in his image. God created man as a social being because God is a social being, and man was created in God's image. Much direction is given in the Bible about relating with others, relating with those around us. There's phrases in there that says, "Seek one another's welfare," or seeking each other's welfare. "Live together in peace." "Love as brethren." "Love as Christ loved." And how can we do that if we don't interact with those around us? But relationships take people. Families are made up. Churches are made up of people. Society is composed of people. And the relationships are all around us. And God has given us the ability to have these relationships so that we can live out his love, exercise the love like he has taught and like him and Christ and the Father have. But relationship is a God-given blessing. It's coded into our very fiber. Some of us display that desire more than others. Some of us get maybe burned out with, we want to be by ourselves more. But we all have it. All of us have that inside of us. Every one of us has a desire to belong to something, to belong, to be accepted by others. All of us has a desire to be loved, to be valued, and to contribute something to society and to our friends. When I say that God is a social being, I think Stephen had mentioned this in the devotional this morning. The power of choice that God gave to people, the choice that God, or the ability for man to make choice, I believe was so that God could have someone to relate to, someone that is voluntarily serving him. But salvation exists today because God desired a relationship with man, and he provided a way for that to happen. But he did it in such a way that the choice needs to be made. The acceptance needs to be, we need to accept that provision. And the power of choice is there. Families exist because man desired a relationship with a wife. Churches exist because it provides relationships of born-again believers to exercise love as Christ and his Father do. In John 17, Jesus says that they all may be one as we are one. But you know, not all relationships are positive. Some of them, there's little things that come along that can sabotage our thing, or sabotage that. And in Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19, this might be modified a little bit, but I think it can fit. But these are pitfalls that can sabotage relationships. And it just says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." So if the church is a unit where born-again believers can exercise love and oneness as Christ and his Father do, then pitfalls that can sabotage this, one could be pride. The pride can lift myself up, and it with pride comes selfishness as well. And selfishness and pride together can destroy oneness, can destroy relationship, because with all of us that have the desire to be accepted, to belong, it takes well if I lift myself up, it does the opposite of making other people warm up to me. But if I make other people feel accepted and feel loved and have value, then it's reciprocal. It goes back and forth. But pride works against that. Pride is a snare that reaches out and sabotages relationship. Lies are another one. A liar is not somebody that can be trusted. And if you can't trust a person in a relationship, it's not healthy. A lying tongue, and that a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, I just called that character killing. And you can take, there's different things you can use for that. But somebody that attacks somebody else's character to lift themselves up is not a true friend. If everybody did that, it would be like the cats that fight until there's nothing left but a cloud of fur coming out of the sky. It does not build relationship. But character, assassinating somebody's character, is coming around and planting seeds of mistrust. It's similar to sowing discord, but it plants seeds of mistrust. It's outright slandering someone. And we can do it in ways that are innocent, or that we think are innocent. It's just a pastime. And I know what it feels like to partake in that, and it's painful for the one that it's being done to, and if it's done about me, it's even more painful. Gossip and believing the worst about people is another one here, where it says, feet that be swift in running to mischief. It's one thing to go around and plant seeds, but if somebody does that, do I believe that? Do I believe that about somebody that I know I know the person, but I'm not, and I know that they probably wouldn't do it, but if you hear something, am I quick to believe stories about them? Am I quick to believe and believe the worst about my brother or sister? Another thing that sabotages relationships would be a false witness that speaketh lies, or making up stories. Just, that's a little bit like a liar, but it's just making up stories. Sowing discord is another one. Some of these are interconnected, maybe, but all of them have the thing of lifting myself up to put others down. And lifting myself up to put others down is, in a nutshell, a relationship killing machine. In James 2, it talks about partiality. That's another thing that is damaging. If I treat one person better than another, with all things equal, if I treat someone better than somebody else, and that's damaging. And another one that probably hits close to home for me, personal opinion can sometimes be a challenge to maintaining a healthy relationship or to keep it. And when I say that, that works two ways. We all of us have an opinion on life. Some of us are more expressive at it than others. And so if, let's say I'm vocal and I have a strong opinion on things, and it goes down hard against other people, so they now, if I keep sharing it, it can be a challenge for them to accept it sometimes. And likewise, if they do it, and my opinion is different than theirs, it can be a challenge to accept them and build a healthy relationship. But giving and taking, being willing to lay down my own opinions, if it's just an opinion, is a blessing or something that can build a relationship. Now, blessings that build relationship they don't all look like blessings when we are experiencing them. They don't all feel positive. But one benefit of having other people around me, as iron sharpens iron, It creates a it helps my character mature. And one of those things is input of others into my life. And the input of others into my life can come in the form of encouragement, building each other up, or my input into somebody else's life. Encouragement. Encouragement is a huge blessing when we are when we have that affirmation or that encouragement that we have value and we are accepted. It encouragement speaks to a basic need that we all have. And it's something that it's a gift that we should exercise. Another thing, iron sharpening iron, thinking of that thought to bless or build a relationship is character stimulation. You know, others can help my character mature. And maybe I have some faults. Maybe there's some nicks in the edge of my axe, maybe. Maybe I have nicks in my character or blunt edges or sharp edges. Sometimes it takes a friend to tell us about that and help us to understand where we need to change. Because I'm blind to some of my own nicks. Correction is another thing that goes there. Another one, communication. Being able to express ideas and thoughts, goals and dreams. Being able to share with each other. Whether it's, yeah, communication is a character building method. Forbearing and long suffering. It's more than toleration, but forbearing with each other. Giving each other the grace to mature. Giving each other some space. Giving each other things. Long-suffering and forbearing are fruits of the Spirit. And it's more than toleration, because love is exercised there and not just waiting it out till we can leave. Forgiveness is another one. Treating others as I would like to be treated. And love. But forgiveness we can talk about this, but when it gets real, this is a blessing that is one of those that's not, doesn't look positive when we're right in the middle of it. Because forgiveness is laying down my claim to make somebody else pay for their wrong against me. Forgiveness is the opposite of holding a grudge. But if I don't exercise forgiveness, unforgiveness is a relationship killer, as well as the original offense is a relationship killer as well. But Jesus said that, you know, offenses are going to happen. Offenses will happen. So as long as we are relating with others, there's going to be these things, these offenses. Some big, and others not so big, but they're all offenses. And forgiveness is the mechanism that keeps them from building and building and building and creating a deadlock of relationship. building each other up is one similar to encouragement. Building each other up is sharpening our character, sharpening each other. And love. Love cannot be exercised without other people. If we were in a world with no one else, we could not experience love and we could not exercise love, because love, you have to have a relationship to exercise love. You have to have these interactions to exercise love and receive it. But in 1 Peter 3:8, it says, "Finally, brethren, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren." Love is the encompassing of all things relational. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, forgiving, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. I'd like to turn to Jude 1, and we'll read 20 through 25 there in closing. And that gives the thought of building each other up in faith. Building each other up. We're here in the situation that we are because of experiencing love from God. We have experienced love from each other. But if we're in the world, offenses will come. Things happen. Life happens. I'd like to leave this as a closing here. It says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some having compassion, of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. And God is the one that gives us life. He is the one. God is love. He's the one that exemplifies love. God is the one who we serve. And God is the one that created us as relational beings to start with. What are we going to do with that? Will we be known as a hermit on a hill, the ugly old hermit on a hill, or will we be known as a friend of the King? Let's kneel for prayer.